Good morning. Feel inspired to, with some thoughts, and I really feel needy, and there's so much here, I feel like I can only scratch the surface of it, and at the very least, I'll have to move very quickly through it. So maybe you all can take the scriptures and go and do your own Bible study at home. If we run out of time, we might split it into two parts. I want to go to Matthew 7 and the 7th verse. Desire your prayers. It says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" So by these verses we know that if there's anything that we need, and it would be something that's truly good for us, that it's available to us, and all we have to do is ask God to give it to us. We have to desire it, but it's available. There's nothing good that he's going to withhold from us. Now I want to go to James 1 and verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Now every one of us need wisdom. So when we get saved, we after that, God wants to teach us things. And he wants us to learn a different way than we have known in the past. But if we lack wisdom, and every one of us do, it says to ask of God. And he's not going to come to us and say, "Well, you foolish creature, why don't you have this?" He didn't include it in the package when we were born. It wasn't present in our sinful nature. But when we decide, well, what is wisdom anyway? Wisdom is knowing what truth is and how to live. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is knowing what to do. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. If I have a wood stove in my house and it's getting cold enough where we're going to light it, knowledge is knowing that the stove is hot, and wisdom is knowing not to touch it. It's a very simple distinction there. But every one of us needs wisdom. And the Bible has a lot to say about wisdom, because there is several different kinds of wisdom, but there's only one kind that we need, and all the other kinds we need to avoid. There is the wisdom that's from above, and then there's the wisdom of the world. And I plan to talk about both of those this morning. So God has wisdom to give to us, and we need it because we need to know how to live. We need to know what direction to take in life. We need to know what paths to take. We need to know what paths to not take. The wisdom, there is so much to it. Solomon pleased the Lord, didn't he, by asking for wisdom. It said, we're not going to turn there, but he went and it said he offered 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar. When they dedicated the temple to the Lord, he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And if you read his prayer and the prayer that he prayed, he was desperately seeking the Lord. He wanted to know what the Lord wanted out of his people. And so the Lord visited them that night and said, "What do you want? I'm going to give you whatever you ask for." And Solomon didn't ask for riches or long life or the lives of his enemies, but he said, "I don't know how to rule this people. I'm ruler of the greatest nation on earth at this time, and I don't know how to go out and come in. I don't know what to do. Give me wisdom so I'll know what kind of decisions to make." And it pleased the Lord, and he said, "Because you've asked for this, I'm going to make you the wisest man. Nobody before you has ever been as wise as I'm going to make you. And I'm going to give you that which you asked for, and I'm going to give you that which you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you long life. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you honor and the lives of your enemies. He had peace all of his days when he was in Israel, so that no one before or after is going to be your equal here. And we find that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and we read those things, and we get wisdom from those books. There are so many things in those in that book and in the book of Ecclesiastes that demonstrate the depth of the knowledge of how to live that Solomon had. And so I'd like to go to Proverbs 2. We'll read a bunch here in Proverbs this morning. But let's start at Proverbs 2, and we're going to read some things about how important wisdom is this morning. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." Now, what's it say here? How do people seek silver and go after treasures? They're hid in the earth, aren't they? You don't pluck them off the branches like apples and oranges. You have to go and you look for it. And when you find it, it's not usually in a pure form. I don't know what the process is called, but you have to refine it and purify it until you get that. And it takes a lot of work. It takes everything you've got. If I'm going to go seeking treasure, generally I have to make an undivided career out of it. And I can't do anything else if I'm going to be successful. And that is the way it is with wisdom. We're not going to get wisdom simply by sitting in our chair with our hands folded in our lap and say, "Lord, I don't have all the wisdom that I desire. Please give it to me." And then expect it to all be dropped down. We've got to apply ourselves to it. We've got to study. The scripture says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And that is the most important thing that we can do on this earth, is to rightly divide the word of truth. There are a lot of ways to take the word of truth and divide it. What that means is to apply it in the right places, to use it in the right places, to discern the good from the bad, and to have a balance in our judgment. And we need to rightly divide the word of truth. And to do that, we're going to have to seek wisdom as men seek for silver and gold. "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." And then it mentions three things here. Number one, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. That's number one. Number two, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That's number two. Number three, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now, I had some experience with someone a while back who was devoid of wisdom. And it opened my eyes a little bit to what happens when you don't have the understanding and the knowledge of every good path. And I'm not saying that I have all the knowledge and understanding, but the Lord gives understanding. And when we follow the Lord's way, He teaches us things, and then we can see some things that are so obvious, and they that don't seek for wisdom don't see it at all. It flies right over their head. So I was with someone a while back, and we were in a public place, and I was just going along and doing, we were having a good time, and the things that this person that was with me, the opportunities that they took, and the things that they said, and the interaction they had with other people, I've wondered before. I've heard stories of people who went out of the way and who made terrible mistakes. And I've wondered, how did they ever get to the point where they did that? Because I thought, you know, it seems like that I haven't really been to the place where I was in a temptation that was strong enough where I felt like such a thing could possibly overtake me. But when I was with this person, all the carefulness and all the guards and the things that we learn to do automatically as a Christian, and the things that keep us safe and the fences, those weren't there. And I could see it was evident. And everything, and I, just being in this public place for a couple hours, I thought, this person could get in trouble. Just the things that they're not heeding. And they don't want these things. They don't want to get into trouble. But the fences that they don't have up, they're going to get in trouble so easy. I remember hearing about somebody, a friend of mine, that went to Las Vegas. And a good indicator of Las Vegas is the nickname that it has. It's called Sin City. I've been to Las Vegas. I actually, sort of, I've been in the airport, and I can see just a little bit of what they have there. There's slot machines and things all over that airport, and there's places where you can go, and you can drink, and you can have a good time without ever leaving the airport. But in the real city, it's a lot worse than that. So I've heard, and I heard from someone who went there and spent some time there, and they said, man, it is just about impossible to go there and stay out of trouble. He said, it's so easy to do all the things that your flesh wants to do. He said, it's so easy to just get drunk and get high and fall into all kinds of traps. And I thought, you know, I believe that a Christian, I don't have any desire to go there for vacation anyway, but I believe that a Christian could go, someone that has wisdom could go to a place like that to witness for God, to work on a job, and be kept from all those things. Because the Lord wants us to understand the way of wisdom that will lead us into every good path. I want to go to Jeremiah 6 and 16 and read about a path here, a good path. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And I don't need to read the rest of it. That's what I wanted to get out of it. Stand in the ways, at the crossroads, where you have different ways that you can take. And you say, you ask, and you say, which paths are the old ones? The ones that are tried and true, the ones that people have that have successfully gone on before and have made it to their destination without falling by the way. I have people that I have known in the past, and books that I have read by successful people. And these people made it all the way to the end. They have something that I want. They had the Holy Spirit. They had wisdom. You could read about their lives and see miracles done in their lives. And a lot of times I think that we in this generation today, we are so ready to try a new idea here and a new idea there. People are just, they have ideas they want to try. Well, maybe it's this, so I'm going to go follow after this. Or maybe it's this. And they have, it seems like today there is an attitude or just a feeling against what anybody would call tradition. And they don't want to follow tradition. They say, I don't want to follow tradition for tradition's sake. And that's good. I don't want to follow tradition for tradition's sake either. But a lot of times, people that we respect, if you know somebody that's followed the Lord, and they had things that they held dear to Him, to them, to me it makes sense to respect that and say, you know what, if they considered that to be important, I want to go to the same place they went, and so I'm going to follow the same path that they followed and seek the Lord to determine what is really wise to do. I'm not just going to throw it all aside and say, you know what, because I don't see the sense in this at the moment, I'm not going to do it until the Lord shows me. To me, it's a foolish thing. If there are people that have gone before us that have been successful in their walk with God, and they have not fallen, and they have continued all the way, and God's done things for them, to me, it makes sense to follow in the same path that they did, and to say, I want whatever they had, and if they considered that to be important, yes, I'm going to seek the Lord and ask Him to show me the importance of that too, but I'm not just going to cast it away and say, that's foolishness. The old paths are good paths. Let's go back to Proverbs and read in Proverbs 3 in the 13th verse. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. So we can see that wisdom affects us in our secular, our temporal lives as well. It's not just all about if I can make it to heaven at the end. That's the most important. But the Lord, the way of wisdom is a good way. It's a successful way. It's a way, it says, length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. You know, the Lord wants us. He doesn't want us to be broken down our whole lives and to do things that are foolish and to do things that cause us to suffer from consequences from the things that we did. You know, suffering from foolish consequences is a lot different than trouble that the Lord sends our way in order to refine us. There's that. And then there are consequences from things that the Lord never intended us to go through. But if we follow wisdom, I guarantee you that it will be the best path that we can have. The Lord will send us what we need to temper and refine us. But when at the same time, we get to reap the benefits of living the way of the Lord's wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And so, to me, it is a very valuable thing that the very thing by which the Lord used to found the heavens and the earth and to build them and to build the laws of nature and all that, He is offering that to us to know how to live our life. And I think that it would be a good thing for all of us to seek that. Seek after wisdom as men seek for gold and silver. I think of one place, I believe it's in Deuteronomy. I didn't look up where it was, but it said, if you'll follow me and you'll keep my laws, it says, blessed will be thy basket and thy store. Blessed will thou be when thou goest out and when thou comest in. All these things that the Lord promised, if they would follow His way. And then He said, if thou wilt not follow my way. And all the things, everything was the other end of it. Cursed be thy basket and thy store. You're going to be cursed when you go out and when you come in. Your life is going to be miserable. And I think that it is the same way today. There are so many things that we can stay clear of if we will follow the wisdom of the Lord. You know, there are natural blessings that the Lord has blessed us with. It says, and He blesses all of us. He maketh it to rain on the just and the unjust. We all have air to breathe. Every person out there is enjoying this beautiful sunshine this morning. It's a beautiful fall morning. He blesses us with the beauties of nature. Some of the most wicked people on earth can go and view the prettiest sights of nature. God shines that on us, but when we follow Him, He adds to the natural blessings. We're going to get things that we wouldn't have got otherwise. We're going to see it in a different dimension. We're going to be able to realize the magnificence and awesomeness and love of God that created it. And it's going to generate a love back to Him for what He did and what He gives. I hold that the people who live for God and that take His way are the happiest people there are. I believe that very firmly. I know it's that way with me. God changes the course of nature for His people. Did you know that? You know, I've had times before where I know that the Lord changed the course of nature in my behalf. Man, maybe it was because of something foolish I did. I remember one time I was driving. I was a teenager. I shouldn't have been driving so fast, but I was trying to live for the Lord. And I was foolish. I was real young. I was driving too fast. It was dark. It was raining. And I went around a curve that I forgot about. And my car started to shoot off the road. And all I had time to do was say, Lord, help me. And I felt something grab my car and guide it around that curve. I was going over 100 miles an hour when I hit that curve. It was a 55 mile an hour road. It was dark. My tires on my car were bad. It was raining. And something grabbed that car. It was like a hand guided my car around that curve. I remember another time, and I could be up here for hours telling things like this, but I remember a time where I didn't have enough pieces to finish the job. And we were in a bind, and we were out of time, and we needed to go home. And I said, you know, I don't know what to do. And so I just started, and I had another guy come help me, and we laid all the material out to try to find a way to make it work, and there just was not enough. And I remember I said, well, I'm just going to start. So I just started. And I just started. I put in one door jam, and I put in another door jam. And you know, I finished, and I had enough pieces to finish the job. It just worked out. I don't know how it worked out. I didn't have enough material, but the Lord will change the course, the natural course of things for us who follow Him. Yes. You know, wisdom. I want to go to Proverbs 8. And if we can tap into the source of that wisdom. Wisdom is knowing the best way. Period. It's knowing what to believe, how to live, how to act, how to think, how to behave toward other people. It's knowing the best way. I'm not talking solely about spiritual things. It all blends together. You know, the way that we live our lives has to do with the way that we follow the Lord. The way that we drive and take care of our possessions, the way that we take care of our house, the way that we spend our money, the way that we interact with our neighbors, the way that we do business, all that has implications that reach deeply into spiritual things. Let's go to, you know what, let's see. Yeah, Proverbs 8 and 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. This is wisdom speaking. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. The Lord is the giver of wisdom, and the Lord possesses infinite wisdom. He knows the best way to do everything. He knows the best situation. He knows the best timing. He knows the best way to create something. Look at all that he created and how wonderfully it works together. The infiniteness of his wisdom astounds me. We can't even comprehend it. And yet, the Lord offers it to us as a way to know how to live. Let's go to a few verses in Proverbs. We won't turn to them all, but I'll just get these. There's a reason why these scriptures are in here. In Proverbs 25, there's a few verses in there. It says, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." The next verse says, "Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee." You know, those scriptures, do they have anything to do with serving the Lord? I mean, yes, it's in the Bible. It all blends together. The way that we, you know, there's a scripture that talks about people whose God is their belly. There's scriptures that talk about, you know, we teach our children when they're small to obey. And the whole world stops in my house if I tell my child to do something and they don't do it. They have to do it. Because if they don't learn to obey now, does that have anything to do with following the Lord? Right now they don't understand it. But if they don't learn to obey and do as they're told now, they're not going to learn how to obey their Heavenly Father when they're older. You know, if we don't teach our children the importance of self-control and diligence and discipline and how to keep themselves and how to control their anger and how to control their minds, they're not going to be submissive and subjected to God. You know, God, when we have the Holy Spirit, we have the power to do the things that are right. But one thing that he still leaves to us is the choice. We have to make the choice. And we also have to do everything that we can. Where we are at is where the Lord meets us. We have to put forth all of our effort. And then what is lacking, the Holy Spirit will make up with his grace and his power. All these things blend together. If we know how to live, we're going to know how to serve the Lord. If we know the wise things of life. In the 24th chapter, it says, in the 30th verse, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. It doesn't say that, you know, maybe he was a rich man. I don't know. Maybe he thought that he didn't need to take care of his field. But he had a field and he was supposed to be growing stuff in it. It said, "Lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." You know, this guy that had a broken down field, I don't know if he deduced that the man was slothful because of his field or if he went by the field of a man that he knew to be slothful. But you could infer one from the other. If you know a man's slothful, you're probably going to guess something pretty accurate about his field. And if you see a field that's all broken down like this by someone, and it's in the time where fields are supposed to bring in profit, then you can infer that the man is probably a slothful man. I know there's exceptions to some of this, but it says, it calls him a man of void of understanding. He had let his fields get all grown over, and he let his fence get broken down, or just anything could come in, robbers could come in and take the little that he wasn't able to get because of his shoddy crop. You know, the Lord wants us to have fences in our lives. He wants us to build fences. There are things that we do that you can say, where in the Bible does it say not to do that? Where in the Bible does it say that you shouldn't listen to this kind of music, or you shouldn't watch this? Where in the Bible does it say that you need to dress like this? And where in the Bible does it say that you shouldn't have this in your home? And where in the, you know, I hear that kind of stuff all the time. But wisdom. You know what? I want to read a scripture in Ecclesiastes 10, and we'll start in the 9th verse, I guess. It says, "Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge or sharpen the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct." Have you ever heard the saying that a dull pocket knife is more dangerous than a sharp one? You're more likely to cut yourself with a dull pocket knife than a sharp one. And it's true, because when you have something dull like that, you're pushing and you're trying, and it can slip. You know, I was putting up some panels one time, and I had my knife in this hand. I was holding the panel with this hand, and I was just pushing as hard as I could, trying to get a piece of wood shaved off so it would fit. And all of a sudden, that knife slipped, and it came and it buried itself in my hand, pretty much all the way to the handle. It was a utility knife, so it went in about 3/4 of an inch. And I felt the repercussions from not putting a new blade on, not having a good sharp knife. You know, wisdom is profitable to direct. I see people, and I've done this too, and the Lord has been faithful to teach me, and I expect Him to teach me more. But when we don't have wisdom, we'll go along and we'll use our axe like it's a club. I'm gonna beat this. I want this to happen, and I'm gonna put all my energy to it. And there's collateral damage when we do that. There's things that break that we don't mean to break. But it says to rightly divide the word of truth. When the knife is sharp, when our sense of wisdom, when we have that from the Lord, we can divide things, we can teach things, we can live things, and we don't hurt everybody else around us, and we don't do all kinds of damage, and we can have good results. This is what this is talking about. If the iron be blunt, you've got to put to more strength. It's going to wear you out. But when we have wisdom, it's profitable to direct. We can do what we need to do without damaging half a dozen other things in the process. Wisdom makes us learn our purpose in life. We ask, what are we here for? We are here for a purpose, and wisdom helps us to learn what that is. You know, I don't claim, it seems none of us want to stand and say, I'm a wise person. It seems egotistical. But you know, the Lord wants every one of us here to have wisdom. Every one of us need to be wise in the right things. Every one of us needs to have the knowledge and the fear of God. God's wisdom is the kind of wisdom that we want. And it's orderly. God is an orderly God. The commandments, the principles, the laws that He's given are not just arbitrary. He's not a whimsical God. He doesn't just follow what His mood was at the moment that He created it. He's an orderly God. His order, you know. Let's read about the comparison of wisdom. James, the 3rd chapter, the 13th verse. is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. What that means is that even if we look perfect on the outward, if we have in our hearts, if we have envying and strife, and we have bitterness and things that nobody can see. Sometimes people can see and we don't think they can. Sometimes we are the only ones that can't see what comes out of our heart. But if we have envying and strife, don't take that and use that and be a reproach to the church of God and say, I have the victory, but in your heart you've got all this cauldron, this boiling and envying and strife and bitterness. Don't do that. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There's a few things I want to pick up from these verses here. The word hypocrisy, it says that the wisdom is from which is from above is without hypocrisy. That means not, it doesn't only mean a person that's unsaved, but they're pretending like that they are saved. It's someone who is pretending what they're not. And so if I have all this in my heart and I'm still trying to be a Christian, but I'm struggling and I have things and I pretend like I'm some spiritual icon, that's hypocrisy. Don't try to be a spiritual icon. Don't try to get people... Don't try to get people to think something about you that you're really not, that you know you're really not. Don't make the surface on the outside different than what you really are. The other thing I want to get here is the word confusion. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion. Now, there's a scripture that says God is not the author of confusion. God hates confusion. He is an orderly God. Everything He does is orderly. Confusion means disorder, an unnatural thing. But what determines what's natural? God and His wisdom. Anything that He has determined to be natural is that is what is natural. I mean, that is the basis by which we should live our lives, the foundation from which we should build. There's a scripture. God was interested in order, and He still is. Let's go to Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. You can see here how the Lord likes order. And it's not just because He's OCD. That's something, a term you can only apply to humans. God is a God of order because it's right. He's a God of order because there are so many things that come from that order. There are so many principles that have this order back of them. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. These things God wants His people to be orderly. He wants His people to be, to not create confusion. The Bible talks about confusion in several places. And every time, it is something that God hates. God hates confusion. God wants uprightness, honesty, order, decency. I want to give a comparison between earthly and heavenly wisdom. It says This wisdom in James, it says this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. The world is trying to peddle a version of wisdom today that is far, it's as great of a contrast as you could possibly imagine. It is not something that you could say, well, it's close, but it's not the real thing. It's not the real thing, and it's not close. You know, there is such a difference. I thought of the Philistines, and I've mentioned this before, but you know, the Philistines were a people that at one time was a righteous nation. They started envying Isaac. And I believe that those seeds that were sown, they made choices to go a different way than Isaac did. Their people got worse and worse. If you read in history about the Philistines, who lived at the same time as the Israelites when the Israelites were prospering so much, everything that you can read about that they did in the Bible, they did not have the same goal as Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians did. Their goal was to undermine the blessings of the Israelites. Their goal, their fault was envy. They hated that the Lord was blessing them. They lived right next door to the Israelites. They lived in the same country. They farmed the same kind of land. They grew the same kind of crops. And yet, archaeological discoveries in recent times have shown that the average height of the Philistines was around 5 feet, and that they suffered from chronic malnutrition. You know, we can live right next. We can grow up and learn and go to church and be right next to someone else, then get the same food and hear the same messages and grow up and be stunted because we don't have the wisdom of God in our lives, because we don't seek for it. These people had the same opportunities, and when they rejected what they saw, God, the blessing of God makes all the difference. The wisdom of God makes all the difference. They didn't even come close. And they were finally destroyed. A very sad story, the story of the Philistines. You know, scientists today are saying that they're getting closer and closer to several things. They're getting closer to making their own living creatures, but they can't do it. Because what is the thing, the one thing that separates a synthetically created body of any sort and an animal or a person? It's life. That's the one thing. And that's the one thing that scientists have never been able to create. It's because it belongs to God. They will never do it. I predict that they will never do it. And there is such a contrast between a dead body and a live one. The dead body has all the characteristics of a live one. It has lungs, it has a heart, but the one thing that they cannot put into whatever they create in their labs is life. And that comes from God. And that is the difference between earthly and heavenly wisdom. Life self-heals a body. Life causes a body to grow. Death causes a body to stink. It putrefies. It's corruptible. And that is the difference between earthly and heavenly wisdom. It is the difference between true and false religion. Did you know that religion without God, religion without the Holy Spirit of God, and without the wisdom of God is one of the most awful things that there ever was? It's not something that's close. It's not something, well, if we live all these rules and maybe we're not going to pay the price and live in holiness and get the Spirit of God, but we're going to follow these principles. Did you know that religion, more people have been killed in the name of religion than any other cause? Did you know that I've read that in restaurants, the Sunday crowd is the crowd that the waiters hate the most because they said they're the worst tippers. They tip the least. They're the most unkind. Did you know that God has called us not to religion, but to spirituality, to a relationship with Him? And whenever we have all the outward things of religion, but we don't possess the Spirit of God, and we don't have the wisdom that's from above in our hearts showing us how to live, what we have is the stinkiest thing that you can possibly imagine. I was reading an example about a man that grew up in a church that the Lord led him out of. And he said that they would practice acts of humility. And they would do things like one person, they would all be sitting at a table, and one person would get down under the table and kiss everyone else's feet. Or maybe a person would decide he wanted to abase himself and humiliate himself and be the humblest person. And he would lay down in the doorway when it was time for everybody to go out, and so everybody would walk over him. They might step on him, and he would get hurt. You know what that is? That's not humility, that's pride. That's exactly what that is. It's something that says, I'm going to do this. You know what humility is? Humility is willing to do our job, whatever the Lord calls us to do. It's using whatever gifts the Lord gave us, and all the glory points back to God. We don't take any of it for ourselves. That's what humility is. You know, I can't overstress this morning the importance of having the Spirit of God in our life to teach us the true wisdom. We cannot base our religion off of what makes sense to us. The most intelligent, reasoning, capable people in the world may be found in every different movement there is. We have to get a hold of something more than just what our own mind tells us. God gives us our intellect and He gives us our reasoning, but that has to be coupled by His Spirit, or else we will have something that is a far cry from what the Lord has for us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, this throws the idea out of the water that if you rely on the smartest person, or you follow the person that seems to have the deepest knowledge, that you're going to be in a good place. You're going to have the understanding. The wisdom of God is available to everyone. You don't have to be super intelligent. You don't have to be super talented. You don't have to live in a certain time where knowledge and discovery is abounding. All you have to do is ask for the wisdom of God, and He will give it to you. You know, the Lord said in one place, and I don't remember where, but it said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. It is foolishness. Remember the people that built the Tower of Babel? They built the Tower of Babel. They wanted to build this tall tower because they wanted to protect themselves from the wrath of God in a future flood or whatever. They wanted to reach up unto heaven. They wanted to get to a place, and God looked at it and He destroyed the tower. And He separated the people and He confounded their language because He said it's not good what they're doing. And you know, when we try by our own understanding to reach the wisdom of God, we are doing the same thing. When we just base it off of what makes sense to us and we blindly follow the wisdom that someone else taught to us and said, I don't want to take the time to seek out for myself what the wisdom of God is, then that's where we do the same thing that the people did with the Tower of Babel. You know, the wisdom of the world, I want to further make some comparisons. You ever heard of people saying, my prayers and thoughts are with you. My prayers are with you. Some people will say, my thoughts are with you. Some people will say, I've seen this on the internet, on Facebook. Somebody will say, I'm in a bad way, I need some help. Some people will say, I'm praying for you. Some people will say, sending good vibes your way. You ever heard of that? Good vibes. That seems like a charitable gesture, doesn't it? Well, what it really means is that I am in my mind, my wish and my thought toward you is that you will prosper. I am being compassionate toward you. Well, that's a good thing in and of itself to wish for someone to prosper. But I want to tell you that it does not fall under the same category as prayer. Prayer is a totally different thing. Prayer is when we make use of the provision given to us where we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, by the reconciliation made by Jesus, so that we have direct access to God, Our Father, which art in heaven. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. There's a scripture that says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when people place prayer in the same category with good thoughts, vibes, whatever you want to call it, they're undermining, they're despising the value of prayer. There is such a difference between thoughts and sending prayer. When we pray, we are the friends of God. We that know God, do you know we can change God's mind? Do you know Abraham was called a friend of God? And he beseeched God that God would not destroy Sodom. He found 10 righteous people, and that was not God's original design. You know, it says that in the scripture, right after the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, it said Elijah was a man just like us. He was subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed, and the Lord caused it to not rain for the space of 3.5 years. I think of today the wisdom of the world and the lack of understanding, they're completely devoid of understanding. It talks a little bit about this in Isaiah 44. I want to read this, and this will demonstrate the absurdity of the wisdom of the world. And it seems like it was written for a prior age, but it still applies today. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. In the 13th verse, it says, The carpenter stretches forth his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. He marketh it out with a compass, and marketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars. He taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down into it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge or understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I've baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? Is this not ridiculous? But we do the same things. People do the same things in the world today. Think of the adoration and think of the devotion that people give their careers to and their lives to things like alcohol. to celebrities, to sports, and people will get so excited, they'll pay so much money, and they'll fly to see a game. And when the game's over, it's over. There's no profit to it. There's nothing. I know there's a pull to it, and there's some stuff about it that's fun, but it's a game. It's a game. And people will spend their time and just pay fortunes to follow those things and to follow the celebrities. And they dress like the celebrities dress. And they'll go and they'll buy these things that are so expensive. And it's something that they'll throw away in 6 months because the next thing has come out and this is not fashionable anymore. And it's ridiculous. And you know, it says they have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see in their hearts, that they cannot understand. I want to explain this a little bit. It is not that God doesn't want certain people to understand and that he's chosen who he wants to have understanding and who he doesn't. Every one of us need this wisdom that he has. But if we neglect the information that he's given us, he gives us a choice. And you know, to hold that in front of us, to hold the understanding in front of us, when we have deliberately rejected what we already know, is in effect, it would be him forcing himself upon us. Our knowledge of God and the results we get with God is proportional to the faith and the devotion we give to what we already know. And it's always been that way. Let's read a few more verses here. Almost finished. Isaiah 5 and 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And you know, I hear in the world, I hear people that are supporting very ungodly and very wicked things, and yet they say, I'm doing this because I have a conscience. I have a moral compass, and so that's why I'm making the decisions I'm making. You know, there's only one moral compass, and that is the wisdom of God. There's a scripture that says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. There's another scripture that says without a vision, the people perish. And so when we take, I've heard lately there's been a push to say, well, you know, we need to have good principles in our government, but we need to leave the Bible out of it. You can't legislate morality. You can't build your laws based on morality. You can't tell a person that he can't do this in his own private life. You can't legislate that kind of stuff. Well, you know, when you take God out of it, you've taken the complete foundation of what makes things right and wrong, what makes things sensible and reasonable and profitable. And when you take away that foundation and you say, okay, we're going to make good laws without the Bible, you can't do it. You can't take out the Bible. You can't take away the foundation and then try to make laws based on, well, what would you base it on? There is no foundation other than that which is laid. And that's Jesus Christ. It's foolish to try to exclude religious principles from government. It's foolish to do that. Without God, there's no system that's going to work. You can say, I'm conservative, I'm liberal, I think this ought to work, I think this would be a better system. I want to tell you what the system is that will work the very best in our country and every country in the world. And that is that if people will seek the Lord and His wisdom, after that, you know what? The best economic system that you could come up with, the best social principles that you could come up with, are not going to work for very long at all without people seeking the Lord. And I fear for our country because of that. Um, We need wisdom in our homes. We need to ask the Lord how to raise the children He's given us. We need to ask the Lord how to help us to have wisdom. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We need to know how to have wisdom in business. I think about our children and how valuable that is. That's the next generation. I'm not trying to teach child training here because of my children are still young. But I can tell you this, that the Lord says if we ask for wisdom, we can have it. If we seek for it as men seek for silver and gold. You know, children, I see them growing up in homes and they're so dysfunctional. Children grow up with parents that ask questions like, what is our purpose in life? And they've rejected the fountain of wisdom. And they've rejected the principles that provide for a safe and a stable foundation. And those children see that the parents don't have any kind of foundation. And they'll promise something and they won't do it. And they can't control their own passions and their lusts and their habits. And they lie and they cheat. And those children see that, and the children, our children are designed to have order and consistency in their lives. And that is why we see children growing up today with, they can't have functional relationships with others. And they can't get along with people. And they'll blow up for nothing. And their emotions are stunted. And it's because that the parents, in many cases, have rejected true wisdom. It's why you see things. There are so many things, and I'm not just going to name them all, but you see an inordinate or such an unnatural love for animals. It's good to love animals. I love animals. I like our pets. We have three of them. But, you know, I've noticed something in the world that the people who have rejected these principles and they've grown up in such a volatile environment, they retreat back to those things that God made that are stable. Animals, nature. They like to get out and commune with nature. And you see these things, and it's good to enjoy all those things God made. But I see an inordinate, unnatural attraction and attachment to those things where they almost worship them. That is the only thing left that is stable, that operates the way God intended it. In all of God's creation, all of God's creation lives or functions according to the wisdom that God created it, except mankind. And that is because God wanted us to have a choice. So let's make the right choice. Let's seek the Lord for wisdom, to know how to live, to know how to raise our children, to know how to do business in everything. You pray for me.